Thank you, Sandra. Well, those of you that know me and know me well, you know that I'm full of jokes and full of stories and things. And when I share a story, a lot of people scratch their heads and they think, is he being real or not? And let me tell you this, there is a little bit of truth in every story that I tell. For example, I have a grandson that loves to be outside. He hunts a little bit. He got his first deer, I think, last year. He's 7 years old. But he sent me this picture. This is him with a 5-pound bass that he caught. I mean, it is huge. And I said, buddy, I'm proud of you. What are you going to do with it? You going to eat it? And he said, no, we're going to mount this one, Papa. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, I have a mounted fish. It's about that size, and mine's even better because if you push a little button on the bottom, the head starts moving and it starts singing all these crazy songs. And that you know, it's one of those Billy the Big Mouth Bass things or whatever. But it's not a real fish. Well, today I want to talk about like a fish story. We're in a series on daring to become a disciple. A disciple is different from someone that just says, oh, yeah, I believe. It says even the demons believe and they shudder. So it may be easy to just give word and lip service and say, yeah, I believe that Jesus did all these things. But to really be a disciple means that you're going to follow him. You're going to do what he says. And so we're going to look at that. In fact, in Luke chapter 14, he says this, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brother and your sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. Then in verse 33, he says this, no one can become my disciple without giving everything for me. So in Luke chapter 5, it's where Jesus begins to call the disciples. And as he goes down by the Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as he goes down there, he sees a bunch of people on the shore. And so he sees Peter and a couple boats. And he says this in chapter 5. He says this, one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Going on, he says this, he got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now, he went out the way that the land goes around the Sea of Galilee. There are some ranges around on the one side over by Capernaum where Peter was. And so as Jesus is talking, the sound is reflecting. It says this, he sat down, started speaking. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put into deep water, let down your nets for a catch. Here's Peter's answer. Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. A couple things. Are you a believer? Are you a Christ follower? Are you just you know, someone that gives the lift service. Yeah, I go to church. I do a couple of things. Because when I think of the word disciple, I think of one that believes in a cause or in a person so much that you, all of your energy, all of your life, all of your ambition is to do what that person says, to lead that kind of life. We see this in our society today. People that study, let's say, Buddhism, they want to be like Buddha, people that hung on every word that Gandhi says, you know, they believe, but just by saying some cool things that the world's going to be at peace. We follow people or we follow things so fervently if we want to be that disciple. It's easy to say that we're a Christ follower, but it's so hard really to become a disciple. In verse 10, Jesus says this to Peter. He says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Okay, here's the story. Jesus comes up. There's a bunch of people crowding around him. He doesn't know what, it's like, whoa, they're pushing me back. He spies two boats, and the fishermen are just washing their nets, getting them ready for the next day. Haven't had a very successful day. Now, that's me. Now, if I would take Breck out there, he'd have found something somewhere, but not me. I'm not patient. I am not a fisherman, so to speak. So they get in the boat, to Peter's boat. Peter rows out a little ways. They talk about it. And then Jesus, when he's finished, says, hey, row out a little deeper and throw out your nets. Peter says, we've been doing this all night, man. We hadn't caught a thing. And I was on Lake Gennesaret, and we were in one of the boats that they had during the time. And we were out in the middle of the lake, and the guy took the net that they would have had, and he threw it out there on one side of the boat. We didn't catch anything. And he threw it out on the other side of the boat. We didn't catch anything there either. So we were kind of like Peter there. But when Christ says to do that, look what Peter says. Peter says, we've done this all night, we're tired, but because you said so. Because you said so. Are you a Christ follower? Are you a disciple? What did Jesus do? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. So if you're a disciple, you want to impart that kind of life to somebody. He said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. So we need to be caring about the unfortunate people around us. He said, I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sinners. If you're a disciple, we're going to go outside of the church to the untouchables, the people that are lonely, the people that are questioning, and we're going to spend time with them. More and more fighting goes on in the church with other Christians. Well, if you don't do communion this way, you're wrong. If you don't get baptized this way, you're wrong. If you don't pray this way, you're wrong. If you don't do this, you're wrong. And we fight more inside the church. Is it any wonder that people outside the church sometimes scratch their head at people that call themselves Christ followers and act like that? Well, today I want us to go fishing. Jesus told Peter, go out, let's go fishing. They catch so much fish, the boats almost, they begin to sink. When he comes back, he says, don't worry, Peter, you are now going to fish for men. So disciples fish for people. A disciple makes disciples. Jesus says this, his last words in Matthew say, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. In other words, if you're going to be my disciple, go and teach them what I've told you. Go and show them what I showed you. That the kingdom of God, my Father's house is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are blind. There are people that are deaf. And it may not even be the physical. There may be people that are spiritually blind or spiritually deaf, and Jesus is calling us to go out and to speak to them and to make disciples. So who should we be discipling? Well, I remember as I was growing up, when I hear things in sermons like this, I get those scared feelings. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have the right words. I don't have, do I have to carry a notebook around? I used to have a paper route. And before we did anything, they gave us this little pad with some paper in it. And you would write the person's name and how much they paid. And I think it was 78 cents for the whole week is what I remember, 78. But anyway, you would just take it out, right? Did I have a little book? Okay, went by this house. No one was home. Going back later. And plus, I'm not that kind of guy. I was, believe it or not, I was really, really shy. So what is a disciple supposed to do? I mean, I don't feel qualified to teach. I don't feel qualified to lead. I don't feel qualified to do all these things. But yet, Jesus tells Peter, don't worry, you're going to catch men. So what do disciples do? Let's just break down this story a little bit. The first things that happens, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to obey. We have to go out. We have to step out in obedience. In other words, if Jesus tells us to do something, if we're reading the scriptures and it says, be holy because I'm holy, we need to be holy. If it says that we are to go into the world and make disciples, we need to go into the world and make disciples. We need to be obedient. This is what it says, verse 4 and 5. Put into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. You ever been like that? Yeah, you got an excuse? Hey, let's get together on Saturday, and let's go to the neighborhood, and let's do this and do that and do that. And it's like, well, no, you know, Saturday's my day to kind of get caught up at home. Hey, would you like to teach a small group? No, I just don't feel like God's calling me to do that right now. You know, what is God saying to you that he wants you to be obedient? Maybe there's an addiction in your life, and you're saying like, you know, oh, this is so hard to give up. You know, Master, I'm tired. I've been doing this all night. You know, I can't listen to you now. What is it God is trying to get you to obey? Is there a sin in your life he's trying to get you to work on, to acknowledge, to say, I don't need this anymore? I don't need this in my life? Maybe there's a relationship, and he keeps putting this picture of the person in your mind. You need to call this person. You need to visit this person. And you're like, nah, I don't even like that person. That person made me so mad 20 years ago when that person said this or that person did this. Maybe he's saying to you, you need to be obedient, and you need to go and reconcile with someone. This is what Peter said. He goes, we haven't caught anything, but because you say so. Four important words, because you say so. You got to understand, Jesus is going to ask us to do things maybe that don't make sense. I mean, think about some of the things that Jesus said. One of the things he said, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer him your left. What? No. I want Old Testament, man. I want eye for an eye. You know, if someone snaps at you, what do? We snap back at them. And Jesus is saying, no. If you're going to be my disciple, if they snap at you, turn and offer them the other side. Now, don't be a whipping post, but don't fight back in anger. Jesus said, someone curses you. What do? We curse them back. And he said, Jesus says, we bless others. Man, how many times have I fallen short of that? You know, there were times, I won't say recently, I guess back in my 30s, which seem recent but really isn't, that I would be driving and Lena would be in the car and Alex and Philip be in the back seat. Philip would be in his little car chair going, you know, whatever the babies do. And someone would cut in front of me and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And I would ride that person's tail. And, I mean, the person's driving like that. And, you know, that's why I don't have a 3-point Bible sticker on my car, because I don't want anybody to know. But Jesus says you don't do that. Jesus says you bless. He says if someone asks you for your shirt, give them your coat as well. He says if someone asks you to go a mile, go two. Go above and beyond. Jesus says if you give, it will be given back to you. What? What kind of economy is that? We're told to scrimp and to save and to pinch and to do whatever we say. But listen, Jesus says, do this, and we need to learn to say, because you say so. God, I don't understand. And there was a story where Billy Graham one time was reading his Bible, and he just finally went outside and he placed it on a stump and he said, God, I don't understand everything that's in there, but because you said so, I'm going to go and preach. I don't understand. I don't get all the stories. I don't know why this happened. I don't know why this happened, but because you say so. What is God asking you to do? Where is he asking you to be obedient? Get you to think about that today. Four most important, powerful words that we could think of as a disciple is, okay, God, I don't understand this. Why are you calling me to be a pastor? I don't get it, but because you say so. God, I don't know why you're calling me to be a missionary in the field, but because you said so. God, I don't know why you want me to reconcile with this person that's just, man, she's nasty. He's been treating me this way. They've always said this, done that, blah, 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 blah. And he's saying, because I said so. And you need to do it. So a disciple goes with this unquestioning obedience to what God is saying to us. How do you know what God's saying to you? Well, you got to open his word and let him speak. You've got to be in his presence. When you go to pray, you are in the presence, the very throne room of God. Just sit there and let him speak to you. So you go out in obedience. The second thing, go out without any reservations. go out with any reservations. And this kind of goes along with the first point, but I think it was just enough different that I could make it work. He says this, from now on, Peter, you're going to catch men. And then this is what he says in verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore and they left everything to follow him. Complete abandonment without any reservations. There was none of this. This was their family business. Peter had a fleet of fishing boats. That's how they made their money. They didn't say, I got my house, I got my business, who's going to take care of this? They didn't say, Jesus, we need to talk about a salary first. What's the 401k program? Is there stock options? What about a relocation plan? I mean, we're going to be traveling around. Are we staying in five-star places, three-star places, no-star places, whatever? They took their hopes, their dreams, things that they were working for their future, not just for them, but for their families, and they left it all. Matthew, tax collector, probably wealthy because they were scamming from everybody else, leaves it all, follows Jesus. Peter, fisherman, lucrative business, leaves and follows Jesus. The Son of God says, follow me. And what they did was they left everything behind to learn from him. There was nothing they realized that this world could offer that Jesus wouldn't even be better. And so they left everything, family, friends, and went on the road and followed Jesus. For us, sometimes it's hard to let go of things that we're holding on to. What is it that God is calling you to do? And he's saying, I want you to step out in faith, and I want you to do it and obey me in obedience, but I don't want you to have reservations with this. Just go full out and follow me. What is he calling you to do? Maybe he's calling you to serve somewhere. Maybe he's calling you to leave this behind because I've got something better for you. Maybe you're doing a lot of good things, and he's saying, those are good things, but I've got some God things I want you to do. What is he telling you to give up without reservation to go out? The problem is we act more like Thomas, I think. Thomas is the disciple, we call him Doubting Thomas. I mean, he probably did some wonderful things, but you mess up one time and that's how you get labeled, you know. It's, that's Doubting Thomas there, you know. Oh, don't be like Thomas, the doubter. Thomas said, look, you guys said you've seen him. He talked with you guys, but I'm not going to believe it until I could see his hands and I could see his side. He turns around, there's Jesus, and Jesus says, here I am. Here, put your hands here. And Thomas at that moment just fell straight down and said, my Lord and my God. We're like Thomas. We want to see, okay, how is this going to turn out? We think when it says count the cost, we think like, we make the pros and the cons and the pros and the cons and the pros and the cons. When God is in charge, his way is always going to be pro and your way is always going to be con. How many times in our lives have we maybe felt the tug of God and we've squashed it so much and we ended up in something miserable? Or we knew we were in the wrong place. We need to learn to be able to say, God, I am going to trust you and obey in full abandonment, and I'm not going to have any reservations. I'm going to do what you say to do. Because there are going to come times when depression or isolation or something comes up, and you're going to stop and you're going to question God. You're going to question the nature of God. You're going to question the plan of God. Just know that God is pressing you to refine you, to make you more into the image of Jesus Christ. Even during this coronavirus, there are times when you sit there and say, like, God, you could just, and this will be gone. Why are we going through this? And why does it seem like the culture is attacking the church more now? You know, I think God is refining the church. He's making us draw a line in the sand, and you either believe and follow him or you don't. There's no halfway. You either believe him and his word and follow him and obey him without reservation, or you don't. There is no such thing as just being a half halfway Christian. I'm just, you know, I'm halfway there. That means you're nowhere. So obedience and without reservation. And the last thing, you've got to be prepared. I skipped over a verse because it goes with this. When you understand what God is calling you to, it changes everything. He wants you to be like him, do what he did, but you can't be his disciple until you learn to carry your cross. Simon Peter's totally overwhelmed. When they go out, he goes, okay, but you said to go out here. They throw the nets. They catch so much fish, two boats about sink. And he looks at Jesus and he says this in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In that very brief moment of realization, Peter knew that this is no man. This is no ordinary man. This is God. He controls where the fish are and everything. We've been out here all night, and I'm an experienced fisherman. And yet when he told me to do this, I pulled up so much fish that I don't even have to go fishing for the next month. And when he looks at Jesus and he sees the face of Jesus after hearing his teaching, and he knew a little bit about Jesus because Jesus had been healing some, and Jesus already had a ministry somewhat established. And so when he calls Peter, when he says, you know, cast your nets here and your catch, when in that moment of realization, Peter says, "Oh my God, I am nothing. Oh Lord, I am a sinful man." The word is hermatolos, and it means less than the mark. It's an archery term. We've talked about that before, to have sin. It's an archer term where you shoot and you miss the mark. Sin, you're missing the mark. I mean, Peter thinking, you know what? I am not good enough. And here you are in my boat, and you are the best. Surely I am nowhere close to being good enough to be your disciple or to follow you. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you're going to catch men." Imagine that. You see, back in their time, when Jesus says to carry your cross, that was a very vivid picture to all of the people that were Christ followers. It's basically saying, I'm going to let everything go. I'm going to follow him. I'm a student. I'm a pupil. He's my Lord. He's my Savior, commander. He's my guide. He's my breath. He's my power. He's my rock, my shield and fortress. He's my life. Everything else doesn't matter. It's all about him. And I'm going to go in pursuit of him. So we do that, but yet he says this: take up your cross. Make sure you count the cost. Because like we said last week, it's going to cost you something. When they carried their cross, most of the times a condemned person would have to carry their own cross. And they would carry it through the city, up the hill, to where the crucifixions would take place. And most of the people on the standing, today it would be like dead man walking. You're on death row, dead man walking. And they would see the man carrying the cross beam all the way up the steps, all the way up the side of the hill, and they would say, "There goes a dead man walking." If we really want to be a Christ follower, we have to be dead men and women walking in faith, stepping out in faith. We realize we are not dead men walking. We have been given the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So really, when we look at the world, those are dead men and women walking. We need to somehow get the message out to this world that really needs to hear it right now, that Jesus is alive, Jesus is here, and we want them to be fully following Jesus. So what keeps us from fully following Jesus? Do you want to be a disciple, or do you want to just be someone that says, "Oh, I believe"? I mean, do you want to be dead to all of the things that you used to pursue, but now you want to pursue God so much that you're willing to give up maybe some wants, maybe some dreams? Are you a disciple? In John chapter 14, Jesus says this. He goes, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." When Jesus was here, he spoke, he touched, he taught, And the people that were in his vicinity were healed. They were made whole. They were forgiven. They did all of these things. But in today's time, we have the opportunity to spread the good news of the gospel much, much farther. There are opportunities for us to heal, opportunities for us to minister to, opportunities for us to listen to be with people that are alone and isolated. Are you a disciple? Because you cannot be a disciple unless you pick up your cross and you follow him. And I'm not telling you that it's easy like that, because every single day I have to get up and I have to take up my cross and follow him. And I'll tell you what, some days it is hard. Some days it is hard. Some days my flesh gets so fleshy, I guess if that's a word, that I want to slip back into some of my old habits, you know? Man, everybody else is doing this. I just want to do this. Every day you have to deny yourself and you have to become a Christ follower. We have to become more like Christ, washed in his blood, given the very bread of life. And disciples make disciples. That's what Jesus says. Go and make disciples in this world. A disciple leaves everything behind. We've got to obey what he says to do. We've got to do it without reservation. But guys, we've got to be ready. And that first step is we have to repent and say, you know what? God, I am a sinful man. I can't do this. When God put it on my heart to go into ministry, you know, I said, okay, I'll do music ministry because I'm a music major. It's pretty easy, you know, and you just go and it's like, okay. I mean, crazy enough that on some Sundays, and I've, you know, when you're young and you think you know everything, you know, and I'm out of school and I've got my degree, you know, master's degree in music, and I'm thinking like, woo, you know, I'm it, right? And so I'm teaching my choir all about better music, you know. I've got them singing in Latin. I've got them singing in French. And I've got them singing. And the congregation's just sitting there drooling, going like, what are they saying? What are they saying? It took me a long time to humble myself to say, you know what? I have only been given, I don't know, we used to do 3 hymns and then 1 special. And so that 1 special, you know, I've been given maybe 5 minutes to impart a gospel message or a word from God, and I'm sitting there trying to raise their appreciation of Bach or Beethoven. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with them, because when I listen to their music, it takes me to a whole nother place and I can worship God there, but most people can't. And so if I want to be a disciple, I have to deny myself and I have to take you to where you are. I meet you where you're at and let God speak to you. I remember my dad, you know, I was so proud. I said, Dad, listen to this recording I did. You know, we did Robert Shaw's Many Moods of Christmas. And, man, I had a full orchestra. I had this, like, 70-voice choir. Man, and we were just kicking it. And Dad goes, who you going to play that for? You know, my dad didn't even come to the concert. You can't be a disciple unless first you realize how far you are from God. See, I thought I was a God in music. I thought I was a God in this. As a youth pastor, man, I had things going. We were doing crazy things. I thought I had it, but I was nothing. Nothing. And now I've been hooking up with all of my ex-students on Facebook and stuff saying, man, I am so sorry that I didn't take you farther. I'm so sorry that I didn't push you to become better. I'm so sorry that, you know, that, man, it was about me and not about you. What is God telling you? Where is he saying, obey? Where is he saying, look, I want you to give this up and I want you to follow me. Don't make it about you anymore. Make it about me. And if you do, you will do even greater things than I did. Wow. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you would make us disciples by your Spirit. Father, that we would be like you and that your power would just flow through us. Father, I pray that you would give us a burden to love those that are hard to love, to love them with grace and truth. Father, I pray that you would give us a heart that breaks for all of the lost that are in the world now, people that are angry at God because of this virus, or angry at the church because they continue to meet, or angry at other people because of whatever. Father, we are angry and bitter people. And so, Father, I pray that you give us a heart that looks past all of that and gets to their heart and sees them as someone that Christ died for. Father, we know that you don't use the strong, Father, that you are made, your glory comes out when you use the weak. And Father, we just admit that we are weak. We are sinful people. We are selfish people. We are angry and bitter people, Father. We are all of these things, but yet through your grace, through your mercy, and through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, Christ comes alive. Father, you don't call the people that are prepared. You prepare the people that you call. Moses, who was scared and freaked out and had a stuttering problem, and yet you used him to liberate all of your people. Abraham, just a farmer, an old farmer, out sheep herder out on the plains, and you used him to birth a whole nation. David, a nobody, a shepherd who just rather sit on the side and sing and write songs and play music, and yet you turned him into a king for your people. Rahab, Father, a prostitute that felt the Spirit of God so strong that she actually became part of the lineage of Christ himself. So, Father, how can you use us? Father, help us to humble ourselves, to go into your Spirit and to have a heart for those that are far from you and bring them close to you. Father, for people that are kind of still on the fence, you know, they're halfway Christians, and we know there's no such thing. Father, give us words to say. How can we encourage them? How can we give them a heart to become a deeper disciple, and so that they can make disciples? Father, I pray that we just so fall in love with you that nothing else matters in our whole life, and it becomes our mission to know you and to make you known. Father, not to be ashamed when people start saying, oh, you're one of those Christians. Say, yes, sir, I am. And I'll pray for you. And I love you too. And when we feel like we're getting smacked on the right cheek, Father, just give us the strength to turn and offer our left. And there'll be times, Father, I admit my hands will be clenched when they do, but I pray that you will give me your strength and your patience. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, guys, we will be back on the water cooler, water bottle, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we invite you to join us there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.